You're about to listen to a powerful, refreshing, and life-changing message by God's servant, Pastor Vincent Nwensi. It is our prayer that God would use this message to illuminate your understanding, empower you to do exploits for His glory, and bless you richly in Jesus' name. Here now is God's servant, Pastor Vincent Nwensi.
Hallelujah. Today's message is titled, The Prayer That God Answers. The Prayer That God Answers. That establishes something right away. Number one, that God does answer prayers. And that is very, very true. God answers prayers. That is to say, if you come before God and you ask for something as a child of God, expect to be answered, because we serve a God that answers prayers. Look at Psalm 65 verse 2. Psalm 65 verse 2. O thou that heareth prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. O thou that heareth prayers, unto thee shall all flesh come. That's talking about God. That word hear it in the Hebrews is the word shoma. That's the Hebrew word there. It means to hear intelligently. To hear intelligently. So God hears prayers intelligently. That's to say that when you pray, God not only hears what you are saying, but He applies some intelligence. Hallelujah. He applies some intelligence to what He is hearing. Because it's not just the fact that you are praying, but He wants to find out one or two things. Whether the prayer is answerable. It is like if you have two kids in the house. One runs up to you, "Daddy, daddy, daddy. My brother just kicked me. Just kicked me." And he's crying. "So what did you do?" "So I didn't do anything." "You didn't do anything. It just kicked you like that." "See, yes, just kicked me. I didn't do anything." And he wants you to go and rebuke the other one. And then you call the other one and say, "Why did you kick your brother?" He said, "He slapped me." "He slapped me, so I kicked him." And then you now find out that if you had just gone ahead to begin to rebuke the other one without knowing why he did what he did, you would have been wrong. Hallelujah. So, God, in answering our prayers, answers intelligently. Hallelujah. He applies intelligence. He checks out on what we are asking Him. Oh, thou that answered prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. So God answers prayers. God hears prayers and answers prayers. But then there are some criteria that He uses to decide which prayers deserve to be answered. That's why I'm speaking on the prayer that God answers. A lot of people pray all over the world. A lot of people pray. People talk of prayer all the time. And they do all sorts of things in the name of prayer. Some go to the graveyard. Some knock their heads on the floor 5 times a day. I know those kind of things. They call it prayer. But it's not everything called prayer that God responds to. And the God we're talking about here is the God of the Bible, for the avoidance of doubt. The God of the Bible. We want to find out what it is that must be in our prayers for God to answer our prayers. The prayer that God answers. Hallelujah. There are 7 keys I want to give you that asterisk the prayer that God answers. Number one is that it must be a prayer that is based on a living relationship with God. A prayer that is based on a living relationship with God. Sometimes some bad things happen, and then people are saying, I wonder if there's God. If there's God, why this is happening? If there's God, why this is happening? And they are blaming God. Let me ask you. What will you say if somebody tells you that he went into a company at the end of the month and demanded that you give him salary and they refused him? What will you ask him? Are you an employee? Hallelujah. Are you an employee? How can you just walk into a company because you know they are paying salary on the 27th? You walk in there and say, give me salary. They will call police for you. You have no relationship with them and they have no relationship with you. If God is going to answer your prayer, there has to be a relationship between you and God. Amen. And that relationship before comes into effect when you get born again. When you become born again, you enter into a living relationship with God. God becomes your father. And part of the benefits that you enjoy is that his ears are open. Look at John chapter 9, verse 31. John chapter 9, verse 31. It says, now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Now that does not mean that God doesn't hear when sinners pray. Because there is nothing that happens under the sun that escapes the notice of God. There's no word that is spoken in this world today that God doesn't hear. In fact, Jesus said that for every idle word that men speak, even the ones spoken behind closed doors, they will give account on the day of judgment. So how can you say God doesn't hear sinners? He hears them, but he doesn't answer them. We are talking of a prayer answering God here right now. And there are criteria for him to answer prayers. He says, we know that God heareth not sinners. That is to say, God does not answer sinners when they pray. But if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Now please understand, you must always put scriptures within context. What he is actually telling us that people who have committed themselves, who are deliberately living in sin, they are missing their lifestyle. God doesn't hear, or God doesn't respond to their prayers. It's not that he doesn't hear, actually. He doesn't respond when they call. Except they are calling to reconcile with him. That's the first thing. They are calling upon him because they want to reconcile with him. When a sinner cries to God because he wants to change his ways, he wants to repent, God hears him. Because relationship is not possible if God does not forgive. Hallelujah. So when a sinner, it doesn't matter how bad a sinner is, when he cries to God and says, Lord, I am a sinner, God will hear. Or rather, God will answer. That's how we all got born again. If it was the case that once you are a sinner, God won't hear your prayer, none of us will get saved. Because even when we are sorry, he wouldn't hear when we call. But he hears when you want to reconcile with him. Hallelujah. And he answers. But for somebody to continue in sin deliberately and expect that God answer, the person is being presumptuous. Now listen to this. You must remember something. God is a magnanimous God. He is gracious. He is so great that even when you are doing something bad, he still blesses you. His goodness overflows. And Jesus says that God is so good that he causes his rain and his sun to come upon the good and the evil. So there are times when people are in a tight corner. God just looked at them. He says help. Not because he's answering their prayer, but because he's being gracious. Hallelujah. Thank God that he's like that, because if he wasn't like that, many of us would have been killed by the devil before we got time to repent. Hallelujah. God is just so gracious. He's just so kind. Again and again, he will just intervene. Not because he's under any obligation, but his goodness commits him to do that. That's how magnanimous he is. But that should not be confused with a situation where somebody comes before God and says, Father or Almighty God, please, I want you to do this for me. Now, if you put a demand on him to do those things, you must have a relationship. It's required. Now, when you become born again, the Bible refers to you as a saint. The Bible doesn't call you a sinner. You are a saint. Don't be confused by those who are already confused. They confer sainthood. 300 years after somebody is dead, they say he's now qualified to be a saint. Don't be confused by that. Hallelujah. But a born-again Christian somebody who commits his life to Christ, because God has washed you clean from your sins. The Bible says you are a saint. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 7. Romans chapter 1, verse 7. It says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When you became born again, you were called to be a saint. And if you read the rest of the New Testament, you'll find that believers were addressed as saints. Tell somebody I'm a saint. Now that's very important. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 So that's the first thing you must do. If you want God to hear and answer your prayers, you must be born again. Don't forget also, in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So if somebody does not come to God by Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter how religious that person is, it's lost. So the relationship that we are talking about must come through Jesus Christ. You must be born again. You must receive him as your Savior. You come through him. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, the Bible says that as many as received him, to them gave he power or the right to become the sons of God, the children of God, even to them that believe on his name, who were born not of the will of the flesh, nor of blood, nor the will of man, but of God. Hallelujah. So you get born again, you become a child of God by giving your life to Jesus Christ. When Jesus becomes your Savior, that's when you become a child of God. And so you are no longer classified as a sinner or a wicked person. If you read the Old Testament, there's so much said about the wicked. You are no longer in that group. You are now a child of God. Hallelujah. Now somebody said, Pastor, if that's the case, how come that some believers pray, or sometimes I even pray and I don't get the answers? That's why we need to look deeper. Hallelujah. Remember, the message is what? The prayer that God answers. I've given you one criteria already. I said, you must what? You must be born again. You must have a living relationship with the living God. That's where it starts from. You must have a living relationship with the living God. When you have a living relationship with the Almighty God, then your prayer becomes qualified to be answered. Whenever you pray, God, your Father will hear and answer. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that God answers prayers. Amen. It's so wonderful. It's so wonderful that God answers prayers. Could just begin to give you testimonies after testimonies. Amen. Hallelujah. The second thing that you must do, that anybody must do, for your prayer to be qualified, to be answered, is that you must pray in the name of Jesus Christ. That may sound very basic and elementary, but it's not like that for everybody. Some people don't know the difference. They just pray and just go straight to God. Jesus said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. You've got to pass through Jesus Christ. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Even your prayers, you've got to come to the Father through Jesus Christ. You come to the Almighty God through Jesus Christ. Look at John chapter 14, verse 10. He says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Amen. That's John 14, 13. Whatsoever ye shall ask how? In my name. You're going to ask. In his name. Let's make that verse more complete. Whatsoever ye shall ask who? The Father. In my name. That will I do. Now, look at verse 14. John chapter 14. He says, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. That is, if you shall ask the Father anything in my name, I will do it. Look at chapter 15, verses 10. John 15, verse 10. He says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Hallelujah. You ask the Father how? In my name. Look at John chapter 16, verse 23. He says, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you." Give it to you. So in that day, he was speaking to the disciples, was telling them that a day was coming, or a new chapter will open, when he will have the privilege to go to the Father in prayer. Because all the while that Jesus was on earth, he was the one who was always doing the praying and all of that. Now he was telling them, look, a time is coming when you will have the right to go to the Father. He was talking of the time after his resurrection. He said, every one of you, it's not like now, where if you want something, you have to come to me. He said, no, you will be able to go to the Father yourself. Hallelujah. Whatever you ask him in my name, he will give it to you. Now look at verse 24, that's John chapter 16. He says, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." You ask how? In his name. Now look at verse 26. "At that day ye shall ask in my name. I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you." Not telling you I'm going to be doing your prayer for you, but you will have to ask the Father in my name. But did you notice something in those scriptures? Hallelujah. Part of it says, if you ask the Father in my name, I will do it. Another part says, if you ask the Father in my name, he will do it. So, which one is which? Who should I talk to when I pray? Should it be the Father, or should it be the Son, or should it be both? And that is one of the things, some of the things people say in scripture, they will say the Bible is contradictory. No, it's not contradictory. All you need is understanding. All you need is understanding. I'm about to say something very simple, but very profound. Pay close attention. Nothing happens, as far as men are concerned, nothing happens without Jesus. Just like he told us, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." If you come to the place of prayer, address the prayer to God the Father. But it has to pass through Jesus. Because he was the one that gave you the right and the privilege to even approach the Father in the first instance. It is his blood that paved the way for you. So when you come to the Father, you come through Jesus. Your prayer must come through him. How does that happen? When you pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, Jesus picks up the prayers and presents them before the Father. The Father gives a note, and Jesus is the one that answers the prayer. Are you getting what I'm saying? The one you say God answers is actually Jesus that does the answer. When you pray, it goes through Jesus. The reason it goes through him, because he's the one that will present it. Remember that he's the high priest that ministers for us at the right hand of the Most High. The prayer goes through him. He is the one that presents the prayer to the Father. And when the Father gives a note, because Jesus always brings glory to the Father, the whole idea is that the Father may be glorified in the Son. When the Father gives a note, he returns back to the desk of Jesus. And Jesus now marshals out the angels to bring to pass what you are asking for. So really, he is the one that answers. That's why he said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And now he said, if you ask the Father anything in my name, he will do it. He does it through Jesus. Let me show you another scripture. Look at Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. Look at verse 14 and 15. It says, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so." Now look at verse 16. "And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also." You know, that used to confuse me. Before I got understanding, we say, "And God said," and then "God made." God said, and God made. It took me time to understand what went on there. God the Father spoke, and God the Son carried it out. Hallelujah. When God said, "Let there be,"
He spoke, God the Son made it happen. That is why we are told in the book of John chapter 1 that without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus actually created everything. But the command came from God the Father. When God the Father said, let it be, he goes ahead to do it. That's why the Bible says that everything was made by the word of God. And Jesus is the word of God. When the Father speaks, the Son makes it come to pass. He is the God that created everything. But at the command of God the Father. Hallelujah. Now that job, that position has not changed. That is why when you pray, it goes through him. He presents it before the Father. The Father says he can have that. And then if he is the one that does it, hallelujah, he is the one that makes it happen. It happens through Jesus. It goes to the Father through him. And when the Father gives a go ahead, it happens through him. Hallelujah. So prayer must be done in the name of Jesus. I have heard several people pray, especially in public places, where they cut Jesus out. Oh God, we bless you and all of that. They never mention Jesus. They think it is not socially correct. They are seriously mistaken. If you try to post a letter to God without Jesus, it has no stamp. It won't get there. Hallelujah. It goes through the Son. That is the unique position that Jesus occupies. He is the high priest. Nothing happens without him. Hallelujah. The Bible said that he pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. It's just the pleasure of the Almighty God. Let it happen through the Son. And that is why when you are born again, you are in a privileged position because you are in Christ Jesus. You are in Christ Jesus. You dwell in the one who has everything at his command. Praise God forevermore. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Number three, the prayer that God answers. It must be prayer that is prayed from an obedient and a God-pleasing heart. Prayer prayed from an obedient and a God-pleasing heart. Please, that's very, very important. You want God to hear your prayer? Let the prayer come from an obedient heart and a God-pleasing heart. A heart that seeks to please God. Now, you may not be perfect 100%. You may have weaknesses in your life, but there must be this desire in you to please God, to want to do what is pleasing before God. You must have a heart that is obedient heart, a pliable heart is very, very important to God. Hallelujah. Let's look at some scriptures. Look at Proverbs chapter 1, verses 24 to 31. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 24 to 31. It says, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you. Verse 28. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of God. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. You see something there? God says, when I stretched out my hand and I was calling, they turned it down. Hallelujah. They turned down my voice. They didn't want to listen to me. He says, okay, I will leave them. He said, when they get into trouble, they will also call, and I will also turn them down. You don't want that to happen to you. You don't want to be in a tight corner, and you cry to God, and he turns away. Boy, may it never happen to you in Jesus' name. Because if you know our limitation as human beings, it's when everything is working fine, you think that you have the word in your pocket. One ordinary mosquito bite will send a man to A&E. But to have a God that you can call upon, and he answers you instantly. He's awesome.
Hallelujah.
Even in little things, he's awesome.
You know, was it yesterday or the day before yesterday? My big laptop, suddenly without any warning, just packed up. And I have so much material in that laptop, including the list of those who are fasting, and the letters are prepared, the emails are prepared, the responses, and a whole lot of information in that laptop. They refuse to switch on. And that's a big problem, because it will mean that I'm not going to be able to get in touch with all those people, and all those materials I spent days preparing were now inaccessible. I tried and struggled. The laptop refused to come out. Then I whispered a prayer. Oh Lord, please, 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 I need help here now. Please. Hallelujah. I tried one or two ideas, and lo and behold, the laptop came on, and I had access to my files. I quickly brought up my USB drive and copied the folders into the USB drive, and I was secure. A few minutes after that, the laptop went up again. I tried to put it on. It didn't come on. I tried everything. It refused to come on. As I speak to you right now, it is with the repairer. That one has struggled. He has not been able to succeed yet. He told me to come back again today.
It just amazes me how God answers prayers. If I could not access those files, what would I have done? Even in little things, when you get into trouble, you need to operate with God in such a way that when you call upon Him, He answers. Because no problem is small. You think it's a small problem? Wait until it bites you. You know it's not a small problem.
Hallelujah.
So, here we see that God says, because he called and he refused to hear, he stretched out his hand and he turned him down. He said he will keep quiet. He said he will wait. When they get into trouble and they call upon him, instead of answering, he will laugh at them.
May that not happen to you in Jesus' name.
Yeah. Obedient heart. And a heart that desires to please God. If you look at Psalm 66 verse 18, it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now that word regard means to have regard for something. It means that if there is something sinful and I treasure it in my heart, there's something not right, and I entertain it in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You know what God expects you to do? When something is wrong, you should hate it. When something is false and misleading, you should hate it. You should detest it instead of relishing it in your heart. He says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. That is Isaiah chapter 1, verse 9, 10. Obedience is important. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. And also remember Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. He said, behold, the Lord's hand is not shutting that he cannot save, nor his ears heavy that he cannot hear. He said that your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Sin always blocks the way. Help me tell somebody, sin always blocks the way. Tell somebody, sin is not your friend.
Sin is not your friend.
Hallelujah. Sin always blocks the way.
When there is sin, sin blocks the way. Then he says, to this man will I look. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2. To this man will I look. He that is of a poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. Trembles at my word. Trembles at my word. Hallelujah. Trembles at my word. Please listen to me. It is not maturity. It is not growth. It is not maturity to stop trembling before God. Did you hear that?
Don't grow to a point where you no longer tremble before God. Don't mature to a point where you no longer tremble before the Word of God. Because that is not maturity. It's negative maturity.
Even Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who stands in the very presence of God, he fears the Father. When he came to this world, one of the anointings upon him was what? The anointing of the fear of God. He was anointed with the fear of God. That's the kind of fear that brings health. It brings health to your bones. It brings you healing. That kind of fear. It brings you healing. The fear, the Bible says you shouldn't fear, is the fear of men, the fear of devils,
The fear of the threats of the wicked. Don't fear that one. But when it comes to God, fear him.
Hallelujah. God said, don't touch that. Don't touch it. God said, don't go that way. Don't go. If everything in you is beckoning to you, go, 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 go. Pray and say, God, deliver me from myself. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. He says, and Samuel said, had the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Obedience is more important to God than any sacrifice you can ever make. Don't disobey God and say, I will make up for it. You can't make up for it. God values obedience much more than any sacrifice you can make. Whether sacrifice in form of money or sacrifice in form of service, it doesn't matter what you want to do. God says, I would rather that you obey me. Obedience is better. If you want to appease God, appease him with obedience rather than with sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. When you are somebody who has an obedient heart, who has a God-pleasing heart, your prayers always get divine attention. Amen.
Dear friends, thank you for listening. We believe you've been richly blessed by the message you've just heard. To order a full copy of this message on CD, simply go to our online store at www.lwrn.org.uk to place your order. You can also go to the download section of our online store to get the message in MP3 format. Orders can also be sent in by email. Please address your email orders to messages@lwrn.org.uk. Till we come your way again next time, stay blessed and keep marching on in victory from glory to glory. In Jesus' name, amen.